From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Libya's foreign minister has just announced a ceasefire, an apparent response to one of the demands in the resolution passed by the United Nations Security Council. NPR's Tom Gelton joins us now. Tom, what's being made of this announcement, especially after reports of more attacks by Gaddafi's forces on rebels today?
I think it's a matter of seeing it before believing it. There have been reports today of fighting, for example, in Misurata, a city east of Tripoli. People have been killed there. So with this announcement, we'll have to see if these operations halt. Does it mean, for example, that government forces would not respond to fire that they may receive from rebel forces? It would certainly seem so, because the foreign minister announced the stoppage of all military operations. That's pretty definitive.
And Tom, what are the U.S., Britain, and France doing to implement the U.N. resolution?
No specific indications from the United States yet. We have heard from British Prime Minister David Cameron that British fighter jets will be moving into position in the next few hours and taking part in operations. A French government spokesman this morning also said French forces will be involved.
Thanks, Tom. That's NPR's Tom Gelton reporting from Washington. Workers in Japan are planning to spray more water on the reactor buildings at the crippled nuclear facility today. NPR's Richard Harris in Tokyo reports the new approach will let workers pump water from more than a mile away.
Japanese soldiers have been driving up to the troubled reactor building in tank trucks equipped with water cannons. They quickly spray the water in the tank and drive off to minimize exposure to the high radiation levels at the building. The new scheme, described by Japan national broadcaster NHK, involves a system that will allow workers to pump water from 2 kilometers away. That might help them increase the amount of water they're spraying onto the number 3 reactor. They're trying to fill a concrete pool that contains used nuclear fuel from the reactor. The water is needed to keep the fuel from breaking down and releasing radioactive material into the air. The water also serves as a radiation shield. High levels of radiation at the plant are hampering efforts to stabilize the situation. Richard Harris, NPR News, Tokyo.
President Obama departs for Latin America tonight. NPR's Ari Shapiro has more.
The trip begins in Brasilia, the capital city of Latin America's richest country. President Obama will address a summit of American and Brazilian CEOs to talk about expanding trade between the two countries. Mike Froman is the White House's Deputy National Security Advisor for International Economic Affairs.
So this trip fundamentally is about the U.S. recovery, U.S. exports, and the critical relationship that Latin America plays in our economic future and jobs here in the United States.
The global economic meltdown didn't hurt Brazil too badly, and as Brazil's economy has grown, that country's middle class has boomed. Now those people have more buying power than ever, and President Obama hopes that if they buy American, the U.S. economy will improve.
This is NPR News from Washington. An ousted former president of Haiti, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, is en route back to his homeland from South Africa. He's been in exile for 7 years now, but he remains popular in the Caribbean nation. Word of his coming return touched off celebrations in Port-au-Prince. The Obama administration had been trying to keep Aristide from returning until after this week's presidential election over concern that he could destabilize the election process. A Chicago man is now free after spending the last 25 years behind bars for a double murder, killings for which he says he was forced to confess. NPR's David Shaper reports the former police commander who led the investigation is now behind bars himself.
45-year-old Eric Kane says Chicago police detectives under the command of then-Lieutenant John Burge beat him and tortured him until he confessed to murdering a Chicago couple in their home. His co-defendant, Aaron Patterson, was sentenced to death, Kane to life in prison. 8 years ago, former Illinois Governor George Ryan pardoned Patterson and set him free because of the overwhelming evidence he was tortured and innocent. But no one reexamined Kane's case until recently. Wednesday, a judge ordered that Kane be freed. After walking out of the Southern Illinois prison, he said, quote, "Let me breathe the air. I just want to enjoy this moment right now." Meanwhile, former Lieutenant Burge Wednesday began serving a 4.5-year prison sentence of his own for lying about torture under oath and obstruction of justice. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
Doctors in Yemen say at least 14 people have been killed by security forces who opened fire on an anti-government demonstration in the capital, dozens more wounded there. The shots came from rooftops and nearby houses as protesters filled a square near the university after Friday prayers. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
Support for